Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption through his blood. The redemption that God offers us through Jesus Christ does far more for us than just buy us back from the slavery of sin. The redemption that we have been given in Christ provides some glorious benefits that change our lives and our eternities. In verse 7, we see that the redeemed have been released. Paul tells us that the redeemed enjoy the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins through the redemption that we have in Christ. The word translated forgiveness refers to a pardon. When it comes to our sins, it means our sins have been put away from us as though they never happened. The world is so weighed down by their sins, by their unforgiveness. They haven't been forgiven for the things that they've done. And yet God gives us forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Human forgiveness is conditional. Someone will hurt us and will struggle to reach a place of forgiveness. But when we do forgive, we rarely ever forget, no matter how hard that we try. What was done to us by the other person will always be there. No matter how hard we try to press those memories down, they always seem to float back to the surface again and again and again. But the good news is that is not how forgiveness works with God. When the Lord forgives, he also forgets. God has the power and the ability not only to forgive us of our sins, but also to forget our sins. When God forgives, he takes sin and puts it away. He takes our sins and treats them as if they were never committed in the first place. That's the clear testimony of the Word of God. Let me just give you a couple of references from Isaiah. Isaiah 38, verse 17 says this, "Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." All of my sins behind your back. What great news that is. Isaiah 43, verse 25, tells us this. "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake." Notice, that's for God's sake. He does it, for he's the great God. "And I will not remember your sins." And I will not remember your sins. David said, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who knows that his sins have been forgiven, that his iniquities have been covered. Blessed is that man or that woman who knows that God not only forgives, but he forgets." The freedom that that release brings, to know that you are right with God, to know that he has forgiven you of all your sins, and not only forgiven, but he has forgotten. When John the Baptist testified of Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That phrase, "taketh away," means to carry off, to carry off. When Jesus died on Calvary, our sins were laid upon him, and he was judged in our place. God judged him as if he were guilty of all our sins. God extinguished his wrath in the body of his Son when Jesus died on that cross. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, the iniquity of us all. Our sins have been laid on Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verses 10 and 11 of the same chapter. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, all the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Your sins have been given to Jesus Christ. Every sin, past, present, and future, was laid on Christ. He has borne our iniquities. And that's why God not only forgives, but God forgets. The Lord forgives and he forgets. Now, because our sins have already been paid for, they can also be forgiven and put away when we come to Christ by faith. It is as if our past never occurred. I might remember what I've done. Others certainly might remember what I've done. Satan remembers what I've done. But God does not remember what I have done. He has put it away from him. And as far as he is concerned, my sins never even happened. No matter how wicked that you've been, no matter how many things that you have done, the Lord does not remember them anymore. That's beyond comprehension for the human mind. We cannot even comprehend that. The redeemed not only have been released, but we have also been reconciled. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We have been accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says, we've been accepted in the beloved. Released from our sins, reconciled to God, accepted in the beloved. The word accepted means to make agreeable. You're now agreeable with God. In our natural state, we weren't agreeable at all. Matter of fact, Romans 8 verse says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It means that you were at one time, before you were regenerated, born again, that you were God's enemy. You were opposed to God and his ways. This was the true condition of men and women and boys and girls. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3. And he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were by nature children of wrath. We were opposed to God. We were opposed to God. John 3, verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We were condemned, dead in sins and trespasses, condemned. John 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Brothers and sisters, that's the condition of mankind. Never for a moment think that men and women and boys and girls are innocent. That's not what the Scripture teaches at all. Dead in sins and trespasses. The carnal mind, enmity against God. The wrath of God abiding on them, standing condemned already. That is the condition of men and women and boys and girls. But yet, the good news is when we come to Christ and we're redeemed, everything changes. Old wicked sinners like us are brought into a relationship of grace with God. Our sins are forgiven. Our stains are washed away in his blood. Even our very natures are changed. That's why Christ told Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, the religious man, the one that was in the close to know the Scripture, says to Christ, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand. You need to be born again. You need to be regenerated. You need a new nature. For our old nature is corrupt. Look at 2 Peter, verses 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 4. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers, notice, of the divine nature. Hallelujah. What a difference. What a difference. Your old nature, what it says in Ephesians. You see the way your old nature was? You walked according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that was working in the sons of disobedience. You once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But notice that through the promises given, you've been made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have escaped the corruption. You have been regenerated. And now God accepts us, not as we are in ourselves, but as we are in Christ. This is the reason why we worship Christ, because we've been released from our sins. We've been reconciled to Almighty God. We stood condemned. We were under his wrath. We were by nature children of wrath, and it's all been changed because of Christ. Notice in that text back in Ephesians, notice the phrase accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 6. He's made us accepted in the beloved. That's in the perfect tense. It could be read this way: I have been accepted, I stand accepted, and I will always be accepted in the beloved. In Christ, in the beloved. The results of redemption in our lives are eternal, wonderful, and glorious. And God is to be praised for the results of his grace and his love in our lives. Surely, we can find ample reasons to praise God for his redemption. After all, his redemption delivers us from our sins and adopts us into his family. Surely, we can praise him for the results of redemption, because we've been redeemed of our sins. We've been redeemed and our sins have been forgiven, and we've been made acceptable to God. His redemptive work in our lives is something for which we can all praise the Lord. And as we think about redemption, the obvious question that we must face is why? Why does God redeem people from their sins? Why does he save them, forgive them, and make them his children? Why is God so gracious to people who deserve hell, deserve judgment, and deserve damnation? Why? The answers to that question are many, and most of them are shrouded in the mystery of God and his perfect will. These verses give us a few truths that give us some answers to the why questions that we see in Ephesians 1. And every one of these truths is wrapped up in the wonder of God and who he is. Why does God redeem the lost? God has his reasons, and those reasons cause us to stand in awe at the wonder of his redemptive work. In verse 7, we have in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. Paul tells us that everything we have in Christ flows to us from his amazing grace. What is grace? We've heard it defined as God's riches at Christ's expense, the unmerited love and favor of God for the undeserving. The actual Greek word refers to goodwill, loving kindness, favor. You've been favored. That is why grace is so amazing. That is why those who received grace marvel at it so. Do you marvel at the grace of God? Was it ho-hum to you? Maybe you've never seen the wickedness of your sin that you've been forgiven. Do you marvel at his grace? Do you stand in wonder when you consider God's grace? God in his grace set his love upon us when we didn't deserve to be loved. God chose us in Christ when he could have condemned us to hell. God reached out to us in love and saved us when he had every right and every reason to send you straight to hell. That's the wonder of God's grace. And that's what makes salvation so special. We've been given everything that God has to offer, and we deserve nothing. We've been brought out of death into life. We've been adopted out of Adam into Christ. We've been delivered from hell, and now we're on the road to heaven. Do you want to know what the wonder of God's grace is? The wonder of God's grace is that he would save the likes of you and I. That he would love us, choose us, call us, save us, keep us, bless us, honor us, use us, and adopt us is an unbelievable thing. Thank God for his grace. Verse 8 and 9 tells us of Ephesians 1 that the redemptive plan flows from the mystery of his will, that he did what he did for us according to his good pleasure, and that God devised and carried out all this because he purposed it in himself. In other words, God's whole redemptive plan exists to bring him glory. Him glory. Every soul that is saved fulfills God's plan to redeem sinners, and it brings him glory. Every soul that is saved because God, in order to accomplish his plan, in order to advance his own glory, has revealed the deep things of God unto us. Verse 8 tells us in Ephesians 1 that God's grace has abounded towards us, and he has given us wisdom and prudence. Wisdom has the idea of sanctified knowledge and is the ability to understand the things of God. That's why you understand the things of God now, brothers and sisters. At one time you didn't. The word prudence refers to understanding and insight. The bound towards us in wisdom and prudence. Having made to known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one. Gather together in one all things in Christ. He's made known unto us the mystery of his will. God in his grace and for his own glory has opened our eyes to the deep things of God. He has allowed the redeemed to understand matters of life on this earth. He has allowed us to comprehend heaven and hell, time and eternity, the depth, the power, and the influence of sin. You didn't just come up with this on your own. It's because of God that you now understand what you understand. So a word of caution, be patient with those that are around you, because your understanding has been given to you. The things you understand have been given to you. And those around you that you just shake your head and be, why can't they get it? And it's because God hasn't revealed it to them yet. All things are hidden from those who are dead in trespasses and sins. They don't see because they need to be made alive. Christ said it this way. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Luke 10:21. Paul said it this way. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of God have been revealed to you. So God, for his own glory and purposes, opened our eyes and let us see the truth. He uses the truth to convict us of our sin and draw us to Christ. He used the truth to give us faith to believe. He used the truth to redeem us. And he used the truth to cause us to praise him. In verse 10 of Ephesians 1, Paul reminds us that history is not meaningless or without purpose. God has done everything that he has done to bring everything together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Ephesians 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All things in Christ. Christ is the head of all things. Christ has first place in all things. One day the powers that control this world will fall at his feet and acknowledge him to be the King of Kings. One day Satan will be judged by Christ and cast into the lake of fire. One day Christ will rule and reign over earth and the heavens and the universes for the ages to come. The verse that I just mentioned speaks of the dispensation of the fullness of times. That word dispensation has the idea of management, oversight, or administration. It refers to control. In the end, God will reveal Christ to be the head of all things to all people, my friend. The world ignores it today. The world acts like he doesn't matter. The world refuses to bow to him, to worship him, to obey him, or to love him. This world appears to be spinning out of control, but that is merely how things appear. Our God is in control. And when the time is right, he will demonstrate his power to his Son, Jesus Christ. Here is the wonder of all this. God has made us a part of that plan. He has a plan to exalt his Son, and he has allowed you to be a part of that plan. Does that not cause you to praise the Lord? He's placed us in Christ by grace through faith. He's blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings. He's promised to keep us, use us, and to allow us to reign with Christ one day. These things make him worthy of our praise, brothers and sisters. Get your mind out of this world and the things of this world. Set your affections on Christ. God has blessed us. In Christ, we are blessed people. All spiritual blessings are ours in him. These truths should cause us to bow before him in absolute submission. These truths should cause us to worship, praise, and honor him for his grace and his gifts. If you are in Christ, are you giving him the obedience, the reverence, the love, the worship, and the praise that he deserves? Are you doing your part to accomplish God's will of exalting Jesus Christ? And my friend, if you're listening today and you're not saved, and you know you need to be saved, you know you need to be redeemed, I exhort you to come to Jesus Christ today for salvation. He promises, if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. Come. Come with all your sins. Come with all that wickedness. Come. Come to Christ today. If you'll come to him, he'll forgive you your sins, save your soul, and bless you beyond your wildest dreams. The question is he calling you? If you're hearing this message, he's calling you. Come to him. Come to him for salvation. For Christ is all and above all.